Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. I'm here today with my guest, Lee Schaefer of Harford Digital Marketing Solutions, and today we are discussing three tips for starting your own marketing agency. After 6 years of working in a marketing agency setting, Lee decided to double down on his freelancing side hustle to start his own marketing agency. He believes that what business owners seeking to outsource marketing services really need is a one-stop shop for expert guidance and professional marketing services. Thanks so much for joining us today, Lee.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So let's dive into a couple questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So where are you tuning in from today?
I am actually located in Maryland on the East Coast, US.
Awesome. And what motivates or inspires you?
I am motivated mostly by helping people, and that's kind of how I've gotten into marketing and moving into helping businesses on my own, aside from what had been my career up to this point.
Yeah.
I really just enjoy teaching people things about, you know, running their business, the things that I've learned from my marketing career. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like that's a big part of what has driven me to kind of take this leap and start providing services that can help people do things that they just don't really know how to do for themselves.
That's awesome. And so how did you get started in digital marketing?
I actually, I went to school for sociology and, and psychology. And, you know, just kind of really enjoyed learning about how people work, what, you know, what motivates them and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I had a friend who has been in marketing for, you know, probably, I guess, almost 2 decades. And there was an opening and it was at the height of the recession. I graduated college at a time when, you know, jobs were really hard to find. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, I know you're really creative. I have a kind of a history of doing a lot of type design things and photography and a lot of creative activities. And he said, I know you have a really like creative mind, and I have this opening for a marketing position, and I know you don't have any marketing experience, but as I read the job description, as he was writing it, because he was the director of the department at the time, mm-hmm. he said, I thought, you know, maybe it would be something you're interested in. And it was a bit of a hike from where I was living at the time, but he sent it over to me and I read it and I was like, yeah, I actually think that this is very interesting. I mean, I didn't really ever think about doing marketing before, but you know, I'm a pretty fast learner and it just kind of drew me in. So I went for the interview, they offered me the job and things just kind of began in that direction. And I quickly excelled from, you know, being in an associate level position to managing the department within just 3 years. And
very
then,
cool.
You know, from there just started to gain so much knowledge, especially because it's an agency setting. You just are exposed to so many different things that mm-hmm. you're not like, in, you know, in that kind of position where you're just managing social media or you're just doing one thing and you don't really know how to do anything else. And like I said, just being a fast learner, I started to realize there were so many things that people didn't know. And I wanted to kind of start using my new skills to help other people. And, you know, as sort of a, like you mentioned in my intro, as sort of like a side hustle at first, and then it just started to grow. I guess I'm a little better at it than I thought I was.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Awesome. And then, so how did Harford Digital Marketing Solutions come to be?
So when I started just doing websites, mostly for some local connections that I had made, you know, we had moved to this small town, me and my fiance, and mm-hmm. we met some people, just our neighbors have a son who's in school with our daughter. And so we started connecting with different people. And then, you know, it obviously came up what I do and so-and-so needs help with this. And that one thing just sort of led to another where, you know, people were just coming to me because they needed help with website design. And mm-hmm. I thought, you know, well, there's an opportunity here. Obviously businesses around here need help. I ended up like kind of just doing some free consulting and, you know, just people are picking my brain for things. And I decided, let me think a little bit about here what the demand is. And that ultimately is what led to me, you know, kind of defining a brand that mostly at first is catering to the local community because I really want to invest in, you know, where I'm from. But by happenstance, you know, I do. Oh, shoot.
That's okay.
I'll start that sentence again if you want. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. You can keep going. Not a big deal. Okay.
I did start by wanting to, you know, invest in the local community, but by happenstance, it just ended up that, you know, I'm having people, you know, reaching out to me from all over now, and it's becoming a lot, you know, not a lot less geographically focused and a little bit more just anybody who needs help and wants to connect. We are here to help.
Nice. That's awesome. And then, so how does your agency differentiate itself from other agencies?
With the web design, this is kind of where my main differentiator, as I started to, web design was kind of the main service that I built the brand off of. Mm-hmm. I kind of discovered the need for, you know, all these companies, all these, or small businesses even in the area are looking for a website, and they don't really realize that a website alone is really not enough to be successful. Website is great. It certainly checks a box, but there are specific elements of the website that have to be thought of. I mean, not just a, you know, layout, conversion and things like that, but also search engine optimization. It is probably the most overlooked thing, especially by small businesses who, you know, obviously are very busy and hardworking people who might not have the time to invest in understanding some of the technical components of marketing. But websites rarely ever include search engine optimization. It's either an agency is selling you the website and then trying to push you into search engine optimization, or you're getting a website built by somebody who's just building a website. I mean, you ordered your business cards on Vistaprint, and then Vistaprint says, do you want a website? And we'll take a stab at it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, firstly noticing that, like, well, websites really need to kind of look a certain way to build the trust. They really need to represent your brand well. But then secondly, like, you need to have like page titles and meta descriptions, and you need to submit your site to Google Search Console, and you need to do a few other local SEO activities that are, you know, a little offsite. But mm-hmm. all of those kind of needs made me realize that, like, most people that are looking for a website don't realize that they need more than just a website. And if they're gonna invest in their business and have this, you know, piece of digital real estate to help support their business goals, mm-hmm. why not combine at least the basics of SEO that are, you know, on site with that product, so that they really get something that's going to work for them and not just something that works for me as the web designer. You know, it's great for me if somebody wants a website, if I'm the designer, because of course I'm selling my product. But if my real goal, and as I've kind of alluded to, is just I enjoy helping businesses. I enjoy helping people get what they really want. And mm-hmm. a lot of times they don't know what they really want, or they don't know what they really need, just because they're not in the industry and they don't understand all the ins and outs and the technical components.
Yeah.
So for me, that's become a big differentiator with the web design to start. And that kind of philosophy bleeds into my other services. It's the reason why I offer consulting and I offer SEO services. It's all about kind of taking every client that comes in and trying to educate them on, you know, what can you do for yourself? Because I don't need to help with the little things that you can do yourself, but here are some of the things that I've learned. Here's what you could use to be successful, and where you need help and some support, like, that's what I'm here for. As a consultant or as a resource for search engine optimization to build the website and all those things. So
that's awesome. I love that. Yeah. It sounds like you're really, you know, educating them. You're giving them a very practical website that's going to bring more users to their website. So that's awesome. Yeah. So let's delve into our topic now, which is 3 tips for starting your own marketing agency. So tell us, what is your first tip for starting your own agency?
My first tip is to choose your focus. I think, you know, what most people who are at least starting with from a freelance perspective, they think about what they do best and what they're passionate about. I think that's, you know, obviously kind of the basis of what is it that you're going to be offering. Are you, you know, going to offer just a couple of services? Or are you really just going to focus on one thing? Mm-hmm. And then I would say, you know, aside from what you're good at and what you're passionate about, back it up with a little bit of research, which mm-hmm. which brings me to kind of that second crucial business development step, right? Is the competitive research. So you've thought about what you do best and you thought about what you're passionate about, finding kind of your niche in wherever your target audience is going to really require a little bit of research. I have helped, you know, a lot of businesses, you know, not even non-agency businesses, not really realize that, you know, they have this idea to start a business, but they haven't really thought about what the demand is for that business. And, you know, as someone who does search engine optimization, I know how to find out what are people looking for and figure out what those terms are that are going to help me connect potential clients with a business. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a piece of advice that I think, you know, is really important. Doing a SWOT analysis, right? SWOT, you're looking at your competitors, you're looking at what other people are offering in your area and who you're up against and how you can position yourself as a leader in whatever that niche market is that you're trying to target.
Yes, that's awesome. Okay. And then, so that was, did you talk about the second tip as well?
I did. I kind of moved right into
Okay. So just really analyzing your competition as well. Okay. And then, so what is your third tip?
Identifying your target audience and knowing where they are. I think it's probably one of the harder things that, you know, a lot of people have the idea of, you know, I'm going to push out all this awareness. I'm going to just kind of like start shouting from the rooftops on social media and stuff. But if you don't know where those people are, who they are and where they spend their time, you're going to be shouting into the void. So it's kind of all connected even to your competitive research and your focus. When you identify who that target audience is, maybe develop a buyer persona or something that can help you figure out who is the person I'm speaking to. It's going to inform pretty much all of your decisions, where you advertise, how you communicate, what your voice is on social media, like what you're saying, what you're communicating to them, you know, what problem you're solving. You have to understand who they are, where they are, what's their pain point, and what are you going to come in and solve for them. So for me, for instance, I'm often targeting small to medium sized businesses. I'm understanding that their pain point is they don't always have a huge budget. They don't always know what they need. An agency is a great solution for that. And I can use, you know, the Chamber of Commerce or even just local networking or specific keyword research that targets phrases where it's clear, you know, how to market my small business or things that are obviously going to connect with my audience and the people that I'm trying to serve.
That's awesome. If you had just one piece of advice for someone wanting to make that jump from corporate to being an entrepreneur, what would that be?
I would say really focusing on your mindset. And this is something that like I find is a kind of a long-term development thing on a personal level is you're kind of making this shift from operator to owner where, you know, you may be doing a lot of the things yourself and you have to figure out how to make it scalable. And I've kind of found I'm doing that as I go because so much, as I, you know, kind of launched my brand, I started having business come in before I had all the, you know, T's crossed and I's dotted as far as, well, what happens when I get more stuff than I can do by myself? You know, I didn't expect to hit that point so soon. So I would definitely recommend that if someone is, you know, making that shift, that they think about what's their support plan? Who are you partnering with? Who are you outsourcing to, or who do you trust to help you reach your business goals? And you know, I'm all about organization and managing, you know, multiple priorities at one time is never an easy task. It's probably what a lot of people struggle with is, you know, figuring out what to prioritize. I think that's part of that too, is kind of shifting your mindset and figuring out like, how can you make sure you're effectively using your time and you're not just getting pulled around being reactive to, you know, a particular need or deadline.
Gotcha. And then what has been your biggest challenge that you had to overcome when starting your own agency?
I think straddling more than one world, trying to, you know, balance obviously family life and work life is already a hard thing for most people, just because, you know, work life can be really demanding.
Yes.
But when you're first starting out in an agency, you know, not everybody can really just say, I'm just going to stop doing everything else and I'm going to focus on this new business endeavor. So, you know, for most people, it's, I'm still doing one thing, but I'm doing another. And it gets very demanding in that, in those beginning stages when you don't really have a choice just yet to, you know, to fully go down one path without, you know, maybe having business loans and other things to deal with. One of the beauties in my mind of an agency or marketing business is that it's very low overhead, or it can mm-hmm. be if it's done correctly. And, you know, I'm using this agency as a tool to, you know, to plan for my future and what I want, you know, my retirement to look like. So I certainly don't want to spend too much time. Sorry, I totally lost my train of thought there.
What do you have any tips for keeping that overhead really low when you're running an agency and you're just starting out?
I use Upwork a lot, and that is for me a very valuable tool because I can utilize basically freelancers that, you know, maybe in areas all over the world, and certainly can provide a lot of value and often can undercut the, you know, the fees of hiring somebody mm-hmm. as an employee. And I've found quite a few good connections there that have been reliable. The other thing I really like about that is the time difference for, you know, just hiring somebody that's over, you know, towards Europe or anywhere on the other side of the world, is that difference in hours means that I can spend my day working. And then when I go to sleep, I wake up to a whole bunch of things have been done. And yeah. I feel like I'm doubly productive because I have my day of productivity. And then there's, while I'm sleeping, things are getting done. So I feel like, you know, outsourcing, you know, looking for and finding different resources to help support you is definitely something that helps to keep my costs low. I mean, I'm looking at a place specifically where I'm not taking on the expense of the employee. Mm-hmm. And I think at some point in time, you know, that might become unrealistic and not necessarily be the case. But I actually know several other agency owners who kind of follow that model, and it is very effective.
That's awesome. And are there any online tools that you use that are, you found to be pretty affordable or free tools that you would recommend?
Yes. For kind of some of my agency needs, I use things like Moz and, you know, a lot of SEO tools. But on a more operational management type front, I use Asana, which is very similar to like Trello or Slack.
Yeah, I love Asana.
Yeah, awesome. I love Asana. It's they've really thought of everything, and it's actually free to use. If you're using it for yourself, it's free to use, and you can actually, I think, invite just a couple people in to use it with you. But then there's a certain level. I think after maybe 5 or 10 people or something like that, then you're starting to pay like per user per month. And there's right. Certain features that are kind of gated for that paid access. But the real benefit to Asana is, you know, you're a busy business owner and there's so many things going on, so many projects you have to manage. And it allows you to, you know, build projects, add the tasks that need to happen within them, assign due dates, assign them to people, and just kind of have a one place where you manage everything. And it takes away like all the stress of like post-it notes and, you know, sloppy notebooks and just, you know, there's a lot of different places to take notes, but like having an actionable, like kind of almost like a calendar organized way of managing through a project is very, very helpful to me. And I use that tool every day for pretty much everything. Even if it's just like reminding myself that I have something to do, I might set a task for myself. Like that's you know, not related to a project, but just reminding me. And then when I hit that day, it's there. And it's, it's honestly, I don't even know where I would be without it.
Yeah. Yeah. And those email reminders are key. So helpful. Yeah.
Yes. Agreed.
What are some lessons you've learned from owning a marketing agency?
Lessons I've learned. I've definitely learned you can't do it all. Mm-hmm. It's both on a personal level with, you know, trying to balance life and all of the needs that end up arising on a day-to-day basis. You can't do it all. But also on an agency level, you know, you may want to provide every service, but it gets a little bit crazy. And, you know, early on, I left it open before I was trying to kind of figure out where I knew what I wanted to focus on, but I also wanted to make sure that I'm giving an agency approach where I'm here to help with any need. But a lot of the times I recognize, hey, this isn't my area of expertise. I do know how to do, you know, paid advertising, for instance. I know how to do it, but I don't feel, and I'm, you know, I'm very honest and upfront with clients, like, yeah, I could help you with this, but I know somebody who could do it better and who this is what they do. And I will, you know, I will point them in the direction of somebody who's going to be a better resource for their business than for that. And I stay in my lane when it comes to the things that I know that I can do and do well for them. So
yeah,
you know, website design, search engine optimization, consulting and marketing strategy, giving them the overall strategy. I'm mm-hmm. there for all that. But, you know, some of the other things is, you know, I can help you with that. If you need some help with it, I can, you know, especially get you started, give you some advice on things, because I know just enough about everything to be able to help. But under learning how to make sure I stay in my lane has really helped me to kind of develop into a more manageable business strategy.
Yeah, no, it makes so much sense. You know, when it's something that, you know, you're just a complete expert in, you're able to offer a higher quality of work. You're able to do the work faster, and it just creates higher profit margins at the end of the day as well. So yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Yeah, totally. All right. Well, what are some mistakes that digital marketers are making when it comes to serving their clients? Is there anything that you have observed that other agencies maybe aren't doing a great job at?
I think a lot of agencies make really basic mistakes that I don't know if like regular clients would notice, but you know, I go onto a website and I think like you're offering websites and your website is not great, or you're saying you do SEO, but you have no reviews on your local Google My Business page. Like, if you are really an SEO expert, shouldn't you first, you know, get your own house in order? So I would say that's probably the biggest thing I notice a lot of the time is that, you know, and especially when I'm looking on a local level, because these are people who are, you know, kind of more like me, where they are doing it themselves, and maybe they're like so busy focusing on the clients they have that they haven't had time to develop their own business. But you're your own customer first, and I really think it's important, like, that you are modeling what you're capable of. So I spent a lot of time, you know, developing my own brand and figuring out some of those things. You know, while I was taking on my first couple of clients that came in, I was like, okay, I need to figure this out. If this is going to be a thing for when I have an entity, so I can be managing all the income that's coming in, but also like I enjoy doing this. So I need to first show what I can do by, if I'm saying, you know, I offer website design, then my website needs to be designed well. If I'm offering local SEO, then I need to have, you know, I need to be able to show that I'm doing those things. And I've been working on, you know, link building and things like that to be able to do exactly that, to treat my business as my primary customer, because if my website doesn't function, you know, well and bring me in business, then it's going to collapse in on itself like a dying star. And that's what other agencies hopefully can start to realize, so that they can, you know, better represent what they're capable of.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it goes a long way in building trust with potential clients as well, when they see that you're, you know, taking your own medicine.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I think it's so beneficial. So where do you see Hartford Digital Marketing in 5 years' time?
I see hopefully expanding my network of resources who can help to carry out the projects, so that I can really stay into the strategy and kind of like being in the I want to say the sales role. I don't really like, you know, nobody likes sales, but I like being able to actually communicate with the business owners and teach them things and help them feel like their business is in good hands and that they have the support they need, especially because most of my clients are, you know, smaller business owners who really, like I kind of mentioned before, just don't really have the time to sort out some of this technical stuff. They don't really realize, or they don't know what they don't know. It's something I say a lot.
Yeah.
And that can be dangerous because, like, you know, ignorance is bliss. So you're very happy not knowing it. But once somebody tells you, you know, like, oh my gosh, you're missing so much opportunity by this. You know, once you get over the shock of that realization, you realize like, but this is good because now you're in a position where somebody can help you resolve that. And mm-hmm. you can move on to reaping the rewards of investing in that time. I have a client who's also a friend of mine. This is one of my early clients who owns a store in Philadelphia, a retail dance location. Mm-hmm. And amid the pandemic, very beginning of the pandemic, was kind of when I was getting everything rolling and going. And she was just kind of beside herself because business was so slow. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm going to be honest, like you could be doing so many things with your website that would probably help you. I get it's the pandemic and there's some things that are out of our control. I was like, but you know, she was getting behind on bills and like just really starting to stress. And I've been friends with her since, you know, like first grade. So like we go, you know, back 30 years. And I said, just let me help you out. And she was like, I don't have the money. I said, don't worry about it. Just let me help you out. So I built her a website. And we, you know, I did a whole bunch of SEO. I gave her some action items for her and her business partner to do themselves. And, you know, it's been about a year and a half since that happened. And they are absolutely thriving. I mean,
amazing.
It's just one of the most incredible success stories. And I mean, just because, you know, because somebody cared and took the time to show them what they didn't know and I mean, obviously as a friend, it was obviously much easier because at that point in time, they were in such dire straits. They didn't have the money. And that's not usually going to be the case when you're, you know, when you're coming to somebody. I mean, I'm very conscious of people's budget and things like that. I mean, I can't obviously do free work for everybody as much as I wish I was in a position to do so. But it was just good to see that, like, when someone listens and understands that you do know what you're doing and lets you make the changes that are needed to put their business in a better position to be competitive digitally and to grab the traffic that's there. The people are searching for you. And if they can't find you, then how are you going to get the revenue you need to, you know, pay your bills?
Yeah.
And that was just like kind of a great experience and really kind of kicked off my, like, wow, it was just such a feel good experience, you know, to help somebody and show them how to invest in themselves and have their marketing set up in a way that's going to carry them into the long term and be a good business owner, you know.
That's awesome. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first I have the fast five, which are five rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
I would say I've read The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by mm-hmm. Stephen Covey. It's actually a really popular self-development book.
Yes.
Has been, you know, over years. So a lot of people are familiar with it. But I've read it several times. And I just find that there are so many good principles. I mean, when you're talking about trying to manage your time, manage priorities, and really be like in ultimate control of your day and your work, there's invaluable information in there. And I would recommend that anybody and everybody that wants to be successful, read that book and take it in and really start to put into practice some of the things that Stephen Covey outlines in the book. It's just fantastic.
That's awesome. And what does your morning routine look like?
Usually, I mean, probably like many of the listeners out here, there's coffee involved. And also getting my child off to school and all that kind of stuff. But once, you know, all of those niceties are out of the way, I start every day looking at all the things that are on my plate as a whole, getting really high level and prioritizing. I use, actually, it's from the 7 Habits. So you're going to have to read it in order to really understand this, but there's a quadrant for prioritizing things, based on the urgency and importance of them. And I usually just narrow down to the top three things that, like, I need to do that day. And by looking at everything as a whole and always making sure I'm focusing on the priority and keeping, like, first things first, I start every day that way. And that way, at the end of every day, I feel good because I actually attended to the things I was supposed to. One of the biggest mistakes I see, you know, especially entrepreneurs or just, you know, even just really busy people make is that they're being reactive. They're going into work and they don't even really know where to focus. They're They're mm-hmm. working really hard and they're doing a lot of things. But at the end of the day, they're like, wow, I did a lot, but I didn't really do any of the things. The big things that I really needed to work on are still kind of looming there because I didn't look at everything as a whole and prioritize what I needed to do really today.
Yes, that's really well said. And I'm not sure if you follow Andy Frisella at all, but he does, he's a big advocate for the power list. And it's the same thing. It's some people do 3 items on the power list, some do 5, but it's basically like non-negotiables for the day. And he has got actually a really good podcast episode on it. If you just Google the power list by Andy Frisella. So I agree. Being proactive instead of reactive makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
What is your favorite online tool?
I definitely think Asana. I'm going to come back to it just because it's so good. That's my favorite online tool, especially for managing, day-to-day operational stuff. But I also alluded to, for search engine optimization, Moz has a really, really great SEO tool for finding, keyword topics and phrases, and that's and figuring out where where you rank and where your competitors rank. I feel like that's a really, really valuable tool, especially for marketing agencies, because when you're going to be up against other marketing agencies, so you're going to have to figure out what key terms you're going to be capturing the market on. Otherwise, somebody else is going to figure it out, or instead before you, and you're going to be kind of left with the slim pickings of potential customers to target.
Exactly. Is there a CEO that you follow or study?
I really, really, really like Howard Schultz. He's the CEO of Starbucks. And one of the things that I appreciate about him is, for one, he's had like really humble beginnings. And it just kind of, it's in a way it's indicative of, the American dream and the potential of pretty much doing anything you set your mind to. Mm-hmm. But also because he has like developed a really good corporate culture with really employee friendly philosophies. And, he's just has, I think because of his upbringing, he really cares about making sure people are taken care of.
Yes.
And so like, I just really respect him for that. And I just think he's, he's obviously created basically the biggest something out of the smallest nothing. And I just respect the hell out of that.
That's awesome. And what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Probably, and this is kind of seems like a silly thing, but probably not to take things personally. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of people are really, burdened down by ego, especially when you're trying to do something big for yourself, or even before you really get into that place where you're doing things for yourself and you're just, working in a corporate structure for a different company. And it's so easy, and I see it all the time, pretty much everywhere I go, that people are always taking things personally. And I know I mentioned in the beginning, I graduated with a degree in sociology and psychology. So I don't have, the marketing background, but that actually is the basis of me understanding like how people work. And I've learned that, that most of the time when people do anything, if they, if they criticize your, process, or they, tell you that your idea is stupid, or, anything like that. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time, the way that people are approaching or interacting with you has very little to do with you at all. And it has more to do with them. And I
agree 100%.
It's so hard for people not to take it personally. As humans, I think it's just natural to like, when you feel something, mm-hmm. when something's said to you, or when something happens, you can really take that to heart. But kind of managing your ego and understanding that like most of that stuff isn't really about you, and learning how to kind of let it go really lifts a burden off of you of like, of kind of a limiting belief system, mm-hmm. that kind of will allow you to, once you've learned not to do it, once you start kind of like saying, I'm not gonna follow that emotional reaction or let myself go in that direction with my thought process. You kind of just become freed up to be really content and confident about what you're doing. You end up kind of being more in control of your own, destiny, as grand as that probably sounds. And I feel like that's been a really helpful thing as I've been growing, trying to grow this business, is you know, it doesn't matter if anybody were to say to me, you know, well, that's not going to work, or, you know, I could hear thing like something from somebody and take it personally and completely doubt myself and give up on my dream. You know what I mean? Or,
yeah.
Or I can say like, you know, okay, you think that, but so what? Like, you know, my feelings of accomplishment or my passion for doing what I do is really not going to be affected by, mm-hmm. by anything external. I'm in control of that. And I think that's really good advice for everybody in both personal and professional life, to just really remember that, like, what other people say and do and is really not, doesn't have to be about you. Most of the time it's everybody's instinct to think that everything's about them, when really it's hardly ever about them.
Yeah. And I think when you're doing things, you know, when you've got big ambitions and you're, you know, you're really working towards them, it makes other people feel like out of their comfort zone. And they just, that, you know, that's not their way of thinking. So I also think it's really important to surround yourself, like have that inner circle of people that really challenge you and are growth oriented and, you know, have similar beliefs. Because definitely. It's whenever I detect that anyone is like critical of things, I usually just kind of drop them. Yeah. As harsh as it sounds, but I think it's really important to surround yourself with people that think big.
I think that's probably another really valuable thing that I maybe not learned early in my career, but I wish I would have, because now that I do have, you know, people around me that actually the book, The Seven Habits, actually was exposed to via my corporate job that I had before I started kind of my whole own thing over here. And being surrounded by other people who also have taken on a lot of that advice to really grow themselves through the tenets of that book has been really, really beneficial to my professional career. I would not be where I am today in a position of feeling like I have the ability to, you know, own and operate a business on top of doing, you know, several other things, because I'm, you know, I'm very involved in the community and I have kind of a lot of irons in the fire, so to speak.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have had the confidence or even the know-how to manage and navigate that if I wouldn't have been immersed in an environment that helped me to foster the development that was required to become, you know, this type of professional or an entrepreneur. I think that really was a, you know, precursor to where I am today. So yeah, I definitely think that that's probably an even more important thing that I wish I would have known sooner. But I mean, ultimately I know it now and it certainly has served me well, so.
Yeah, life is definitely, you know, just a process. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Lee. It's been really great chatting with you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.